You know, our subject tonight is choosing the path of righteousness. Scripture says he leads us in the paths of righteousness for his own name's sake. So if we allow God to lead us by the Spirit, he will lead us in the paths of righteousness. He will lead us to victory. I'm going to believe God for the victory in Jesus' name. And so, Father, again, we thank you for the victory that we have in Christ Jesus, in your word, in this church, in these believers. And we thank you for the word of God we're about to receive now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so choosing the path of righteousness, Proverbs 4:18, but the path of the just is as a shining light. All right, so immediately a person must inject themselves into Scripture. If you just read the Bible and just blow past it, it's not effective for you. But when you inject yourself into every verse of the Bible that you see yourself in, you know, that's why Proverbs is so important. It's one-liners. It's easy to inject yourself into a one-liner. And this one-liner says here, but the path of the just is a shining light. So now I'm injecting myself into that verse that my path, because I am justified in Christ Jesus, is as a shining light. So I might be confused. I might not know what to do. I might be wondering what's going on. I may not have a clue. But yet, because of Scripture, there's faith in the Word of God. And so if I identify with this proverb, if I identify myself with the path of the just or the path of the righteous or the path of the victorious or the path of a Christian, let's just put it in simplistic terms. The path of a Christian is as a shining light. Well, how about millions and millions of Christians that don't really have a clue of what to do? And I'm believing millions and millions of Christians do have a clue of what to do, and way more do than that don't. But if you're in a position where, you know, maybe you have a career or something in your life that is facing a decision you need to make, I'm going to identify with Scripture. And Proverbs says here that my path, because I am justified in Christ, is as a shining light. So I could walk out and go, man, I don't know what to do. But because the Word of God says it's going to be illuminated, then I will believe to get wisdom from God to know what to do. And that shines more and more onto the perfect day. We know the perfect day is the day of Jesus Christ. And so up until that point, my faith in the Scripture is that I'm growing up, I'm becoming stronger and stronger, and my path is being illuminated and it's opening up so that I can see where I am to go.
So it's very important that you agree with that Scripture, that you see yourself in it and you say, I have light from God on my path. Stop saying you're confused. Confusion is of the enemy. So if you are seeing yourself in this verse, then you have to say it and put your faith with this verse.
Even if I'm in darkness.
It doesn't matter. You don't have to. You want to speak in line with the Word of God, not speak your circumstances, because circumstances are always subject to change.
Yeah.
Circumstances change all the time. That is not a fact. A circumstance is not a fact. It's a momentary situation subject to change. If this says the path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. So you can attach your faith that I don't have to be in darkness. I'm not going to be confused. God's going to shine the light of his will, his presence, his goodness, his what he wants for my life.
That's exactly
but you have to agree with it verbally.
You have to agree with it, and you don't just blow past a verse. Oh, that's good. I like that. And then you just blow past it. When you see something that applies to you, when you see something that doesn't apply to you, you make it apply to you. You take Scripture.
Of course.
Yes. But in this case, you know, I want the light to shine on my path. I need direction today. You know, for someone that might just seem today, man, I'm not sure what to do in a circumstance I'm in. The path of the justice is a shining light. So I'm looking to God, and in my prayer then, I'll put it in my prayer. Father, I thank you that your word says that the past of a person that's justified in Christ is as a shining light. So I'm believing that you will shine a light on my path and show me what I should do in this circumstance in Jesus' name. So we pray these scriptures and we put ourselves in these things and identify them. It shines more and more unto the perfect day. So it's our expectation of the word coming to pass in our life. So a person can take scriptures upon scriptures and begin to inject themselves into those verses, and life begins to change for the better because you have an optimistic opinion of what the word can do. Now, if you just blow past the scripture and you don't internalize it or personalize it, then it really doesn't mean much for you.
It's just words on a page.
The power is there for anyone.
The power is there, but you have to say it and get it into your heart and receive the power that's in the word.
When we get it into our heart, the system is, according to what scripture tells us, is that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. So then when I hear that word, there's enough faith in that word to get into me and to come out of me. And all of a sudden, I have a new attitude. I can expect something good to happen because there's so many good things in the book of Proverbs. There's so many things in the Bible. All right, sometimes our path is blocked. That's a drag. We've all bumped into walls in our life. Sometimes these walls are material or literal, and other times they're just blocks in our thinking, blocks in our family, blocks in our money, blocks in whatever it is. It's just sometimes that happens. Sometimes our path is blocked or it doesn't seem to be working. I've heard many Christians say it doesn't seem to be working. Well, we stay in the Word. We stay there, and we just keep pressing toward the mark for the prize. We don't give up. We don't throw in the towel. All right, so what do? The scripture says, trust the Lord. And it seems so simple, but trusting the Lord is a challenge for anyone that might be going through something difficult. But Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, some of the most important scriptures in the whole Bible, trust the Lord with all your heart. Well, that might be an answer right there. Maybe I'm half-hearted. You need to examine yourself. Half-hearted means I'm in sometimes and I'm out sometimes. No, I am going all in, and I'm putting my entire heart into believing. You know, I'm getting a witness right now that one thing that was different about my life is that I went all in.
Same.
God was going to, good for you. Praise the Lord. I believe you did. That God is going to see me through or I'm out of this. I mean, I'll never, you know. It's either win or lose, and I'm not going to lose. And so I'm going to win in this life because God is on my side, and if God be for me, who can be against me? And therefore, we see that we're going to trust the Lord with all our heart. That means with everything I've got, and I'm not going to lean to my own understanding. My understanding says, well, you're never going to win. You're never going to get over. You're never going to, this is that going to happen, whatever. You have all these doubts and things that go through your mind, but you listen to your heart, and you shut down the doubt. Believing is contrary to doubting. It's all throughout the New Testament, Old Testament, everywhere you go. So we're going to believe and trust the Lord with all of our heart. Right there is an answer to so many challenges of life.
So what do you do when you are facing a circumstance? You trust the Lord with all your heart. Anytime something challenges me, many times. I love this scripture. This is one of the first scriptures that I memorize. It's the sword of the Spirit.
Same here.
One of the first ones. Lord, I'm going to trust you with all my heart. You said I need to lean not to my own understanding. Okay, not going to lean to my own understanding. I'm trusting you, God. I am trusting you, God. Hopefully you're listening because I'm trusting you. I know he listens now, but when you're a young Christian, sometimes you wonder, is God for sure going to listen to me or not? So I just reminded myself, and I will say it, Lord, I'm trusting you in this situation. I am not going to panic. You're not panicking. I'm not going to panic. You have good for me. This is going to turn out for me. I'm trusting you with my whole heart.
Absolutely.
And so I would just see myself trusting trusting God with my whole heart.
It says with all your heart, your whole heart. You can't be half-hearted about this. The commitment here is, you know, you're walking.
The next part of the verse, in all my ways, I'm going to
acknowledge you, and you'll direct
my path.
But the point here is half-heartedness.
Right.
And unfortunately, so many are half-hearted. And if we would just believe that if I put my whole heart into this, and whole heart means that I'm going to fight doubt, unbelief, and all the fears and all the things that come along.
And
just
the
distractions
and
the cares of this
God.
World, the deceitfulness of riches, lusts of other things entering in, choke the word. Well, I'm not going to let those other things enter in and choke the word. I'm going to be wholehearted, and I'm going to resist all those things so that I'm walking that path of trusting the Lord.
And you don't have to fight on your own. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives on the inside of you. Power's in the word. So you have more than enough power to overcome absolutely everything that you're facing if you'll trust God and use it.
It's called faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hey, the elders obtained a good report through faith. So we believe. Believing is faith, and we're strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So all these things mix together to make us want to stand. And what does the Bible say about standing? Having done all to stand, stand. So that's what you do. This is Christianity, basic Christianity. This is how you believe the word of God. Because if you just read this and you go, ho-hum, you know, then nothing works for you. But some people, some Christians get to a place where they got to have answers.
They've
got to have help.
When
you're desperate, you'll do the word, you'll believe the word,
right.
You'll stand on the word,
right.
You'll expect the word, and you'll hold fast to your profession without wavering. Because he's faithful.
We better get into this message, though.
All right.
Does God block the path of the righteous if there is trouble ahead?
I believe he does. In Numbers, this is the story of Balaam. And Balaam rose in the morning, he saddled his donkey and went to the princes of Moab. Then God's anger was aroused because he went, and the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as the adversary against him. Now, some say that the angel of the Lord is a manifestation of Jesus himself. Okay, so whether it's a powerful angel or whether it's Jesus himself, he's standing right here against Balaam. And verse 23 says, our Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him, and he was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. 23 says, now the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field. Now, please, everyone believe this is happening. This happened. This is truth from Scripture. So Balaam struck the donkey to turn her back onto the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyards with a wall on a side and a wall on the other side. Verse 25. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. So he struck her again. Then the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. So Balaam's anger was aroused, and he struck the donkey with his staff. Verse 28, then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey. Now I want to challenge you right now.
Right.
The donkey's going to talk. Okay? And you get a choice right now, and you can say, I don't believe that. Donkeys don't talk. Or I'm going to believe what the Bible tells me. The Bible says the donkey talked. It's no big deal for God to let a donkey talk. It's just not a big deal for God to do anything. And if we start believing that nothing is impossible with God, we'll start believing God. We'll start believing his word. We'll stop being doubters. We'll stop being naysayer. We'll stop complaining. We'll stop being ridiculously doubting. And we'll start to believe that powerful things can happen. This is one of the places where you start believing powerful things can happen. Because if a donkey can talk, then what other miracles can happen? And it can happen for me if it happened for him. So the donkey did talk. And Balaam said, the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, the donkey, said to Balaam, what have I done to you that you've struck me three times? So the donkey's talking to Balaam, and Balaam said to the donkey, now, isn't this bizarre? He answers the donkey because the donkey just talked to him. That is an unusual circumstance from the Bible, and it's truth because it's the Bible, number one. Number two, the angel of the Lord is here. Number three, these are miracles. Number four, we just simply choose to believe and reject doubt and reject any natural thinking because God can do anything. And when we start to believe that God can do anything, we start to step out in faith. Faith is believing that God can do anything. Doubt is saying, God can't do anything. He's not powerful. He's not God. He's nobody, and I don't have any faith. No, we don't say that in this church. In this church, we believe, and we believe God's word. And right now, the donkey's talking to Balaam, and he says to Balaam, what have I done that you've struck me three times? And Balaam said to the donkey, because you've abused me. I wish there were a sword in my hand, for now I'd kill you. He's threatening the donkey with words. So that the donkey said to Balaam, am I not your donkey on which you have ridden ever since I became yours to this day? Basically saying, hey, I've been a friend to you forever, basically. Was I ever disposed to do this to you? And he said, no. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed his head and fell flat down on his face. All right, so when you see God, you're going to fall on your face because the incredible power of his presence of God is going to put you on your face. Maybe we ought to, let me just throw this to you. When I heard things like this, I heard the term bow now or bow later, but you're going to bow. So I'm going to bow now. I don't need to see God for me to hit the floor and be on my face. I choose to bow now, and I encourage everyone to find within their Christianity a place of kneeling, a place of prostrating, a place of bow now, rather than have to in a circumstance like this where you have to bow. No, I choose to bow. You have the right and the choice to bow. And so verse 32, and the angel of the Lord said to him, why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out to stand against you because your way is perverse before me. Now, I suppose every one of us, God could say, in one way or another, your way is perverse before me. Verse 33, the donkey saw me and turned aside from me these three times. So the donkey could see in the spirit. Okay, right at that point, the prophet was not seeing in the spirit, but the donkey could see in the spirit. So let's just evaluate that and understand that sometimes circumstances where, you know, I don't know if animals can or not, but in this case, they did. So now that causes me to go, well, there are opportunities for appearances of God or angels or things that would cause people to react to these things. So I'm not going to be a doubter when people say something spiritual happened to me. Don't be a doubter. Just go, wow, that's awesome. I hope you're a better Christian for it. It should help you be a better Christian. Anything that happens in these kinds of terms should help you to be a better Christian. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. It doesn't, not by seeing a vision or anything like that. That doesn't help your faith. It just makes you want to go for it. But the Word of God is what helps your faith. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. So put your faith in the Word of God. And if you get a vision from the Lord and he appears to you, praise God. I'd like to hear about it at some point. All right, 33, the donkey saw me and turned aside from me these three times. If she had not turned aside from me, this is God saying, capital M here, me, surely I would have killed you by now and let her live. That's strong terminology from God to Balaam. If it wasn't for that donkey, dude, you'd be in deep stuff, you know? And Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, I've sinned. When you're called out, don't fight God. Don't run and hide. Admit what you did. That's one of the keys to Christianity. Admit your sin.
Well, it's one of the keys to being free. You have to humble yourself and be honest.
Absolutely. But man, just admit it. Humble yourself. Exactly. Humble yourself. And Balaam said to the angel, Lord, I've sinned. I admit it. For I did not know that you stood in the way against me. How many times is God moving in our life? And because of our lack of faith or our carnality or our self, self gets in the way. We don't know that the Lord's helping us. We always need to take a step back. Always give God room to move in our life. Always trust him that he wants to speak to us. He wants to guide us. He wants to direct us. This is Christianity 101. This is not way outside the box thinking. This is the Bible right here. You stood in the way against me. Now, therefore, if it displeases you, I will turn back. This is Balaam humbling himself to the Lord. Then the angel of the Lord said to Balaam, go with the men, but only the word that I speak to you, that shall you speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. All right, so scholars agree that the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament is a visible manifestation of Jesus Christ our Lord. Do we trust God enough to allow the Lord to block our destructive paths? That's an interesting thought. The Bible says that if you let him, he leads us in the paths of righteousness. Yeah. But now the question is, do we trust him to block our destructive paths? And if it weren't for God blocking our destructive paths, some of us wouldn't be here. Whether it's your car, whether it's your motorcycle, whether it's your bike, whether it's your where you live, whether you're walking, what you're doing in your job, something could have, and we don't, you know, have to, you know, get messed up about it or anything like that. We all know circumstances where if something couldn't happen in that circumstance, I would have been dead by now. And I could name 100, you know, just growing up in the city, doing all the things that I did. You know, you can just tick them off. I'm looking at Jordan over there. I'm sure he could recognize a lot of circumstances where God delivered you out of circumstances. So we believe that God delivers us. We believe that God is on our side. We believe that God gives us favor. We believe that God gives us help. And I'm never gonna deny God's help. I'm gonna give God glory when something good happens. I'm not going to take the credit. I'm not going to write it off to happenstance. I'm going to say, God blessed me. God helped me. God delivered me. He set me free. When you start giving God the glory for good things that happen to you, more good things will happen. You are now getting the whole faith circle going where you are walking in faith. And as you begin to give God glory for the good things that happen to you, more good things will happen. Somebody goes, why doesn't anything good ever happen to you? Because maybe you never give God any glory.
Well, you're saying it for one thing.
What?
Why doesn't anything good happen to me? You're speaking
out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. The Bible says right. What's in your heart in abundance. Right. Someone needs to hear this. What's in your heart in abundance is going to come out of your mouth. So if you're always saying nothing good happens or bad stuff happens or I'm not blessed or I'm not favored, no, see, what you're saying is creating a negative world you live
God
in.
God framed the world with his words. We frame our life with the words that we're speaking.
This is called being a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Some people goes, oh, that I don't know
but
about
I
that.
But I like having the opportunity. I love that God, I want God to open the doors for me that I should walk through, and I want him to shut the doors that I shouldn't. That's the same thing. Block the paths if I'm going down the wrong way. I trust that you will stop me before I make the wrong move. That's faith.
How many times has God delivered us from bad circumstances? Sometimes we don't even know how many
circumstances.
Sometimes
you think things look right, but there's something that you're not seeing, but God sees it. And so it stops, and it can be a little confusing sometimes when that happens because you think, well, Lord, I'm serving you. I'm doing the right things. Why is this not quite coming together? And it's the Lord stopping you.
Amen. So do we trust God enough to allow the Lord to block our destructive paths? Thank you. I am just giving God glory right now. Father, I say it. That's a prayer. Father, I thank you that you block the destructive paths.
Yeah,
if I create circumstances by my own bad choices.
Or not even. Sometimes you think you're doing the right thing.
See,
and it's just not quite right, and God will block it. Maybe the timing's not right. Maybe the other people that need to be involved in something coming together it's not the right people or the right situation or whatever. Sometimes you just have to trust that God has you and you need to follow him.
Absolutely.
If something doesn't come together, don't try to kick down doors that are not open.
Hey, faith says, I am grateful when the Lord intercepts and changes my direction. Mm-hmm. Faith says that. Unbelief says God can't do anything. So we're not saying unbelief. We're saying faith. Mm-hmm. Do we give him control? Do you actually give God control of your life? Do we believe a donkey can talk? Well, we do now because it's the word of God.
I've heard a lot of donkeys talk. They talk at work all the time.
We believe donkeys can talk. All things are possible. Right. We hear asses all the time. Okay, that was a donkey. That's the King James calls them that.
Yes.
All right. There is a path for the righteous. The word path is found 23 times. Paths, plural, is 42 times in the King James of the Bible. Psalm 16:11 says, you will show me the path of life. All right, so let's just stop right there for a second and go, Lord, I don't know what I am to do. Well, now I say, Psalm 16:11, you will show me the path of life. Now I'm going to put my faith in you that you're going to lead and show me the path that I should take in my life. In your presence is fullness of joy. I say that all the time. In your presence is fullness of joy. Lord, I want to be in your presence and I want to enjoy it. I want to have joy. I don't want to be nervous. I don't want to be upset. I don't want to be afraid. I want to be full of joy. Christians should be full of joy because joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Love, joy, peace, all right? So study the Bible and God will begin to lead, guide, and teach you his path for your life. God is big enough to have a specific path for every human being that ever lived, ever will live, and ever is living. God has a path for every single person. You are unique. You are special. You are, God has picked, has chosen you, and he has a plan for you, and he can guide you, lead you, and teach you his path for your life. And he'll lead you away from darkness, and he'll lead you into light. It's called it's a trust equation, absolutely. Psalm 23:3, the famous 23rd Psalm. He restores my soul and he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Which direction is God always going to lead you? He's not going to lead you into darkness. He's going to lead you into righteousness. He's going to lead you on the path of the just. The path of the just gets brighter and brighter, the Bible says in one of the Psalms. So that I'm believing. Now, does it just happen automatically? Do I wake up and I'm believing that the path of my life is getting clearer and clearer as I seek God. He's showing me more and more about the direction I'm supposed to go. And pretty soon, I have this confidence on the inside that I'm going the right direction. And
well, you take these verses, so in all my ways, I'll acknowledge you.
And he'll direct my path.
So are you acknowledging the Lord? If you're leading me in paths of righteousness, are you stopping before you make a bunch of decisions? Do you have peace on the inside? Is this, you know, pretty much everybody in here and people watching, you know the difference between good and bad.
Right and wrong, yeah.
Right and wrong. Most people do. There's maybe a few gray areas that you could talk yourself into. But for the most part, so is this along the path of righteousness? And if you stop and actually make intentional decisions, don't make the decision to go down the wrong path.
It's a contradiction.
God is leading you. He's trying to lead us all the time. We just have to stop and tune in. And if you're more intentional about it, then you will begin to walk on the path of righteousness and the light will get brighter and brighter, but you have to change what you're doing. You have to start acknowledging him in all your ways.
It's the most famous Psalm, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Leads me beside still water. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That's
Father,
why he's doing it.
Thank you for leading me. But then you have to make choices that go in that direction.
You make the choice. You say, that's the challenging part, because we want, our flesh doesn't want to, I want to do this. I don't want to think that way. I don't want to always, you know, I mean, we got all these excuses, but when we surrender, when we agree with God, the key here, my friends, is to agree with God. If you're listening at home, I always agree with the Word of God. With the best of your ability, agree with the Word of God. Even if you go, either I don't see it, I don't get it, and I don't want it. You still agree with God, the good parts. Agree with the best parts, and then pretty soon you'll surrender and you'll yield to God's will. And your life will change for the better. Your health, God will help you in your job. God will help you in your relationships. God will help you in your family. God will help you in your every facet of life God is interested in. There's nothing that he leaves out if you're willing to listen to him and let him guide you in the paths of righteousness. Everything can work for you. I believe that everything can work.
Absolutely.
All right, which one are we on?
It takes surrender. It takes humility.
It takes humility and surrender. Mm-hmm. That's the key. Always. Yeah. Paths of righteousness versus paths of destruction, pain, and misery. Psalm 25:4, show me your ways, O Lord, teach me your paths. All right, that's the way you start. You go, God, I don't have a clue. It's okay to tell God you don't have a clue if you don't have a clue. Lord, I don't have a clue, so you're going to have to show me how to do this. Show me how to win. Show me how to be victorious. Show me how to prosper and be in health even as my soul prospers. It's your soul prospering that God is leading you in the paths of righteousness in, and it works its way out into your life, and things start to go well. Things can change for everybody in here and everybody listening. Things can start to go well when you start to surrender to God's will. All right, so which one are we on? 27:11?
27:11.
Teach me your way, O Lord. There's a song, teach me your way, and lead me in plain paths. The word plain there is 4:3:3 in the Hebrew, and it is right living. The word is smooth versus, and I just take the opposite and add it in there. The word is smooth. Plain path is a smooth path, and it's versus bumpy path. Lead me in a smooth path. We've all had bumpy roads. We've all had a life with bumps. We've all had issues in life. It's time for a smooth path. Yeah. In my future, I'm believing God. In this verse, someone could say, well, I'm believing God for a plain path or a smooth path as we go on. Life should get better for a Christian when you surrender. If you surrender, life will get better and you will have a smooth path. It comes to right living. Amen. All right. Faith believes plain paths are clear direction by the Holy Spirit for us to walk in. So I'm not ever going to exclude the Holy Spirit, because he's the one that's prompting me. We don't always hear the Holy Spirit talking. He wants to just prompt us. It's that nudge, or it's that prompting of the Spirit to go this direction and not that direction. If I'm going the wrong direction, you'll get a check. If I'm going the right direction, I'll get a prompt. It's not words. It's just prompts and it's checks.
It's peace versus no peace.
Peace versus no peace. There you go. That's a great way to explain it. Thank you. All right, Psalm 119:105. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. All right, so how many times in our lives have we been at a crossroad? And God lets us come to crossroads. Our lives come to crossroads all the time, where you're in a position where I need God. So what do? You go, Lord, your word is a lamp to my feet. Basically, it's if I'm in pitch darkness, that lamp of the word of God will light a path for me, and I'll know which direction to go. I got to do this if I want to be a successful Christian. If I don't want to be a successful Christian, then I don't care about this, and I just flip this sheet away when I walk out of here. But if you are tired of losing, Christians can be losers every day of their lives. But there are Christians that are winning. You know why? Because they're doers of the word and not hearers only. They seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what does it mean? All these things are added unto me.
There have been so many times where I needed direction from God. And whether it was me opening the Bible to a familiar passage, and reading farther, sometimes there's things hidden in the context of your favorite verses. You might have a verse memorized, and you'll go back and read the context, and you'll see something from a different perspective. There's so many layers to the Word of God. Or I'll just flip open my Bible, or maybe I'll open a devotional, and exactly what I needed was in that scripture for that day. And so that's how you get light to your path. Because it's almost, I don't want to say all, because I might be wrong, but pretty much all the promises in the Bible, 99% of them, I'll say, 99.5% of them are promises that are conditional. They have
if-then statements.
They're if-then statements.
If you do this, that will happen. If you don't do this, that won't happen. if then.
That's how there's light to your path, because we need to be told what to do. We need to understand what to do.
That's called humility. That's called surrender.
Yes.
That's part.
But you also
fruit.
Have to do it.
That's fruit. That's spiritual fruit.
You
humility
have to do it.
And willingness. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So Proverbs, Psalm 119:35, make me go in the path of your commandments. Okay. Commandments is just the word. I mean, if someone doesn't like the word commandments, just say the word. Make me go in the path of your word, for therein do I delight. I get delight from knowing what God says in His
Word. I love
it
when God gives me a scripture.
Don't
that
you
I
just
need.
Love it? It's
I
the
do.
Best.
I do. I love it. It's such a great feeling when all of a sudden a word from Scripture, it just clicks.
A word in due season.
It is. It's a
it's
word
like
in
honeycomb.
Due season. It's exactly what you needed. And it's a blessing.
It is a blessing.
Yeah.
That's the way. That's what God wants it for His children.
It's an active relationship.
All right. So lead me in plain paths because of my... Wait, are we on 27:11? Where are we at?
We're at 119:105.
Oh. Okay.
No, wait. Where were we? 119:35. Make me go in the path of your commandments, for therein do I delight.
All right. Let's just go back to 105. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Got to be in the word. Everybody, every Christian cannot live a quality, victorious Christian life without being in the word. Trust His word. Psalm 119:35, make me to go in the path of your commandments or your word, for therein do I delight. We probably should start saying, I delight to do thy will, O God, or I delight in your word.
I delight in your word.
I delight in your word. Or just simply say, help me, Lord. That's the best, one of the best, simplest prayers. Wisdom in the person of Jesus Christ speaks to those who will listen. So Proverbs, Psalms, all of it, we look at it as the word of the Lord, and it helps us to believe the word. Proverbs 8:20, I lead in the way of righteousness. Now, it's talking about wisdom, but wisdom, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, all of these things. Proverbs 8:20, you say, the Holy Spirit leads me in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment. Proverbs 2:8. He keeps the paths of judgment and preserves the way of His saints.
That is
right
so
there
good.
Is, explain that. You just said it was good.
He preserves our way. He helps us.
He protects us. He helps
us.
He watches over us.
Yeah.
He guides us. He leads us beside the still water. He restores our soul. Proverbs 2:13, those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, and I put in there, will fail. Failure happens when you leave the path that the Lord has called you to walk in. And it's a choice that we make continually, and we bump our heads out there in the world time and time again because we leave the path that God has chosen for us, and we walk in the way of darkness, and we stumble. The Bible talks about stumbling in darkness, and it's just it's a learning lesson that pretty soon we get good at obeying God, because we get tired of failing and bumping and the destructions that are caused by our bad choices.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
All right, failure. Yeah. Proverbs 2:15, whose ways are crooked and forward in their paths. So that's just a continuation of these proverbs here. Proverbs 2:18-20. Now we're talking about the house of ungodly people inclines to death. The warning here is so clear that ungodly people are walking on a path that leads to death. Her paths lead unto the dead. Verse 19, none that go unto her return again. Neither take they hold of the paths of life. Verse 20, that you may walk in the way of good people and keep the paths of the righteous. So the scripture here is just saying, hey, don't go the path that the darkness goes. Reject it and choose the path of the righteous. Choose the path of good people. Choose the paths of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. That just came to mind, so I said it.
Proverbs 3:6-17, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. So we were talking about that. Her wisdom, this is 17, are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. So the wisdom of God brings peace into our lives when we're walking on the path that we're led. We have to allow the peace of God. Peace is like an umpire. So the peace of God on the inside of you, it's the umpire of your life. And if you will learn to listen to the umpire, then you are going to do a much, you're going to have a much better outcome. You'll stay on the paths of life. The peace of God is always going to lead you in paths of righteousness. And the absence of peace or that check, that's a guard.
I was just going to say that.
That's a stop. It's a stop sign.
Why are you disquieted within me, O my soul?
Right. You need to listen to the stop signs too and stop. What happens when people blow through stop signs or stoplights? They get in accidents. And sometimes they're pretty horrific.
They are.
So we have to follow the peace in our life. And when you are putting the word of God in you, listening to teachings, reading scripture, reading a devotional, you've got an active life with God going on, then you can trust the peace in your heart. And we should trust the peace in our heart.
So you'll go out with joy and be led by with
led
peace.
Led forth with peace, yeah. All right, so that was Proverbs 3, 6, and 17, and then Proverbs 4, 11. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. The word of God will teach us the ways of wisdom. The word of God is never wrong. So we just want to agree with the word of God, and we want to do the word of God. And then Proverbs 7, 25, let not your heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths.
Let's go there with the word decline. Have you ever put your card in the machine and it said declined? Mm-hmm. It just means it's stop. It's no, it's absolutely not. So let not your heart decline wisdom. Never, ever reject wisdom. A lot of times we just don't want to do it, but never reject it. Never say, that's not the way I'm going. Say, I'm always going to choose the path of wisdom. Proverbs 8:2, she, isn't that cool? Wisdom is a she. Wisdom stands in the top of the high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. It's just simply confirming that wisdom is in the high places. Wisdom will lead you to a higher place in life. Wisdom will get you to the things that, I love testifying, but I won't right now. But so many things, when I pursued wisdom and I put God's word first place, and I sought wisdom with all my heart. Yeah. Doors open.
Wisdom will teach you.
Doors open. Yeah. God put me in jobs that there's no way I should have had, but I got them, and I got paid for them too. And so you prosper.
Yeah.
God will prosper you.
Yeah, so. God's wisdom supersedes a lot in life. And God's wisdom can take you farther than any kind of education. Education is good, of course. Training and skills and all those things are necessary.
We need them, yeah.
But God's wisdom puts you above, far above,
far above
the rest of the pack, because you're walking in his light. And, you know, we are children of the light. We're children of God. And we want to walk in his ways. And we need to wrap up the message.
I know I'm gushing here, but this is been so critical in my own life. This is the answer to coming out of darkness into the light, because I needed to. And how did I do it? These were the instructions. It's like step-by-step instructions on how to walk out of darkness
into
light.
Well, and again, if you hit a roadblock, then just stop and evaluate your heart, check the peace of God, you do kind of a little checkup. Is this of you? What should I do? And you just stop if you hit a roadblock. And if you check your heart and you haven't opened any doors, but there just is something blocking you. I think there were many times when we were working at, moving the ministry to the next phase or the next building or the different things that we did. We would walk through the doors that opened, and sometimes those doors would shut. And you'd think, we just wasted all this time working on this, and then it didn't happen. And then all of a sudden, wisdom shines. You just have to go, okay, Lord, that door closed. So now we'll just pull back and we'll wait. And a lot of times God will show you. I think of a situation where we had an opportunity as the ministry to maybe get involved with a property and do some different things. And all of that seemed right. And we had a lot of people that, you know, could facilitate that. And we did all this work and I put this plan together and then things just fell apart. Well, in the end, God spared us from something because that was pre-COVID and pre a lot of stuff and things changed. And not only that, there were some things going on with that property that we didn't know about that were uncovered later that would have been really damaging had the ministry actually been involved with it.
Wow.
And so sometimes God will allow you to see why there was a stop. Well, then people could say, well, why did the door open in the first place? You always want to look for open doors. You always want to take opportunities that present themselves. If someone presents you with an opportunity and it seems right and you don't have a check, well, I don't believe any of that preparation
she does. She steps
is
out.
Lost.
She will step
preparation
out.
Is never lost, right? You're learning, you're getting things together, and all of those things come together down the road for the right situation in the right time.
Yeah.
God opens doors that no man can shut. So if you do hit a roadblock, and it's not because you've been on the wrong path, then trust God and just wait. That road will, that he'll show you how to either get around the roadblock or a different path or whatever. But if you're doing what you need to do, then you have to trust God in the timing if you do bump into a roadblock, and don't get all bent out of shape like smacking the donkey.
You know, this is like a bottom line here is that if you trust God, he could bring even a ASS to give you direction. And I don't mean that sarcastically in any way. This is a donkey, and that in the King James, it's a different word. But the point being is that God will lead us, God will show us, God will teach us, God will guide us. God is light.
He's good.
He will shine on our path.
Yeah. Amen. He wants to keep us out of trouble, and he wants to keep us on the right path, and we trust him.
Surrender is the best way. Surrender is the best way, because then, yeah, man, you are on the right path with surrender. But if you fight and buck the system, you're gonna experience the negativities of the pain of rejection of the things of God. So, hey, let's close the service by saying the salvation prayer. And you know what? Thank God for wisdom and the salvation prayer. Let's say it. Dear God in heaven.
Dear God in heaven.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
I believe that he died on the cross for me.
I believe that he died on the cross for me.
And was raised again from the dead.
And was raised again from the dead.
So that I could have eternal life.
So that I could have eternal life.
Jesus, come into my heart.
Jesus, come into my heart.
Be my Savior.
Be my Savior.
And be my Lord.
And be my Lord.
I ask you to forgive me of my sin.
I ask you to forgive me of my sin.
I receive forgiveness now.
I receive forgiveness now.
And I receive eternal life.
And I receive eternal life.
And I receive direction.
And I receive direction.
And help.
And help.
And light.
And light.
Shines upon my path.
Shines upon my path.
I believe that now.
I believe that now.
By faith in Jesus' name.
By faith in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Well, we'll receive the offering tonight, and Lawrence will be in the back to receive that. If you're giving online, that just needs to be done on our website, 3degreeschurch.com. You can't outgive God.
There are wisdom and honoring the Lord is wisdom.
Amen.
And so not honoring the Lord is foolishness. And so we should change and shift and make that transition. If we're not, we ought to do it because, interesting, there's a scripture right there in 18.
We'll read it because they can't.
18 says, poverty and shame shall be to him that refuses instruction. So take the instruction, do the word of God. And otherwise, if you reject instruction, then poverty and shame come. And that's no fun. We've all been there at some point.
You want to pray over the offering?
Father, we thank you for the tithes, the offerings, the gifts that come into this church. We promise to use them for your work and your service. We thank you for blessing your people in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. This Saturday, men's group, 9 o'clock here at the church. And then we are going to have a little work day. We'll have lunch for everybody that comes. We've got a a really cool side dock area that has gates that you can raise up and down. And so we're going to clean that up and put some tables and chairs out there. So when we have lunch on Sunday after the Sunday of Memorial Weekend, then we can raise those gates up and have a little indoor-outdoor dining. It sounds so fancy, doesn't it?
Lift up so the gates all you do. Wait, yeah, lift that's up your doors all you ever listen
anyway,
to.
That's a psalm. But,
all right.
But we do want to have, we're just going to tidy up some things and have a fun little work day this Saturday from 11 till probably 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I don't think it'll take a long time, but it's a good excuse to get together, be part of the family, have a good lunch, and get some work done
cool.
around the church. All right, be blessed. Have a great, great week.